Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the time may be where you are today, I'd like to welcome you. Today the show is only for 1 hour, mainly because I have to connect my laptop to my phone to do the internet, and I haven't got a lot of data left on my phone, so we'll only do it for an hour. And next week, there'll be no show next week, okay? We're going to have a week's break. Then the week after that, we should be back to normal. So I'm hoping I will have the internet at home again. Changes have been happening, and I need to restructure things a little bit. So thank you for your understanding, and thank you for your support. And I'm truly sorry for the inconvenience. It's been a wonderful week, really, full of happiness and a bit of sadness as well, but not bad sadness, it's just realization sadness, and we go through that as we go through transitions in life and changes that we've got to encounter one way or another. So I'm going through a big change right now, and it's time to reassess my life just a little bit and see where to now. For the first time in a long time, I really have no idea what I'm really going to do. I know there's a few things that I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing the show. I'm going to keep doing readings. But for the first time in a very long time, life seems to be full of mystery for me. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. Now, Roger is with us at the moment, and we'll have another lady joining us soon. Her name is Angeline, so we'll see. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Silver, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. I had problems getting on as host. I couldn't get past the echo test.
Yeah, I had a little bit of an issue getting on today too, actually. But we're on now. That's what it really, really matters. Yeah, I was just saying this, it's an interesting time right now. I mean, for me personally, there's a lot of changes happening. Life is actually redirecting itself, and it takes a little bit of adjustment, you know, and it's sort of happy and sad, but it's not a bad sadness. It's just emotional space. That's all it is. So how have you been?
I've been good. There's been lots and lots of stuff happening. Very strange dreams last night, but not disturbing at all, just very, very strange. Getting x-rayed and all sorts of things, never mind. One of the things that you're going through, Selva, at the moment is a grieving process. Like you call it a sadness. It's actually a grieving process because, and this would happen for anybody, who's going through a shift as big as yours, you're having to let go of the old identity. And people need to really honour that and have an expectation that there will be a sadness, there will be a grieving, and that's not a bad thing, because that's a exercise in gratitude and honour for who you have been. It needs to be really clear for our listeners to understand that grieving is a very natural and a very helpful process to go through when you lose somebody, or when you're shifting or losing part of yourself or part of your identity. It's really important to give yourself space to move through that. And I know talking to you, I'm talking to the converted, but it's a very, very useful thing to talk about, because a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't be sad about this, you shouldn't be sad about that. But, you know, for you, being a collie has provided you with, you know, 40 years worth of experience. I mean, what's not to like about that?
Mm. And I'm still very connected to the town. And it's just different. I just can't find the words, really. It's quite a it's a bit bizarre how things change I only came here for a weekend 41 years ago, and 41 years later, I'm finally moving forward with life. Not that I was ever thrown backwards here. It's just, it was a different thing. It was like living in a bubble for a very long time. And now I'm stepping out into the wilderness type of thing. So yeah, I know my basics are still there. It's just the newness of how to embrace the newness is going to be a challenge.
So when you shift into a new space, a new timeline, what happens is because the ego doesn't know what's going to happen, it can't influence what comes about very much, and that's part of the grieving. But it offers up opportunities that would normally not be seen. It's not that the opportunities are not there, it's just that we don't see them. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I really do. I truly think that you're going to be within 6 months, you're going to be wondering why didn't I do this earlier? But the truth of it is, we do things when it's ready, you know.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. But it's just like everything in the adjustment period, as such, you know. I mean, I still be doing 6PR in person. I'm looking forward to that. And the radio show here will continue. And I'm also just started doing another radio show with England on a Tuesday morning, but 3:30 in the morning. So everybody still sound asleep when I do my show in Australia. So that's actually kind of cool. I do feel things are opening up, and it's a new translation, a new space. And I think for the first time in 40 years, I might even have time to put things into perspective, into a little bit of a better space that I've been meaning to do for quite some time. So, which is really good. All right.
Sure.
We've got Angelique here with us. We will welcome her. Hi, Angelique, you made it.
Yes, you can hear me. That's great.
Yes, Angelique, this is my good friend Roger.
Hello, Roger.
Roger's been to Brazil with me as well, so he knows the Casa very well.
He would have met Robert as well, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He's heard about him, but he's never met him. Yeah, I asked him actually, because I knew you were coming, so I asked him, did you meet Mr. Robert Pellegrini while you were in Brazil? And he didn't. I'm sure he's probably heard the name, but
Pellegrino, by the way.
I've heard the name. After we hung up this morning, Silva, I thought, I have heard of the book and I have heard of the name, but I didn't meet the gentleman.
No, not so sure if it's a gentleman, but we'll leave it at that.
Yes, good thinking. So, Roger, Angelique has been busy creating a book. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Angelique?
Well, I'm really co-authoring, so I can't take all the credit for it, but it's called Radiant, and it's all about beautiful women that are, being inspiring with their stories to lift other people and make them feel, wow, you know, I can relate to this story. If she can do this, I can do it too, basically. And that's coming out on the 27th of August on Amazon. It's pretty exciting.
That is very exciting. Years ago, about 38 years ago, there's a beautiful lady. Her name was Tanya Lee. She wrote a book like that. And it was called The Hidden Angels, the book that she wrote. And she actually came and saw me. She actually asked me to write. She interviewed me to put something on the book, you know, and I felt very, very privileged. And it was very good because she went around interviewing all different women, learning different things about different women, what they were into, how they were coping, how to survive. It wasn't, but it wasn't just only spiritual things about how to cope with life in general. Women that are find themselves on their own with five children, you know, to write a little bit about themselves. You know, she gave them all a little chapter of it, and it was such an interesting book. So I'm very happy to see that you're doing something similar but different. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And actually, after meeting, I'm having a meeting with all of them, which is going to be great because I haven't actually met them all. And we're all in this combined book, which is amazing. Very, very grateful as well. Did you want me to share a little bit of my story or at all?
Yeah, we can say what inspired you to actually to do that?
Well, okay. So I was born and raised in Switzerland. So when a teacher one day said that we only use 15% of our brain, I thought my instant kind of gut feeling was, what the hell are we doing? The answers are obviously only 85%. And, you know, in Switzerland, everything is very regimented and everything you learn is to become a robot and to pay lots of taxes for absolutely everything. So I decided to go see if the, you know, pastures were greener on the other side. And exactly. So I also basically spent my whole life trying to build a bridge between spirituality and psychology. So this, you know, a lot of people confuse spirituality with religion, which is completely different. It's closer to science now with, you know, like what's his last name? Oh, I got a blank now. He talks a lot about that. He comes more from a scientific background. But anyway, I traveled around the world and I met this beautiful man. I was married with him for 20 years, but I was wondering what was wrong with him. And 7 years into our marriage, I discovered he had been raped. So, you know, that made a lot of sense, why he could never hold a job down, why he kept getting, you know, excuse my French, but, you know, being taken advantage of, I guess, all the time, over and over again. He had this pattern. But the reason I never on him, the reason I never gave up on him is because he was not repeating what had been done on him. On the contrary, he was super overprotective towards his children. All he wanted was to have a normal life and, you know, enjoy being a dad. So I learned a lot. But towards the end, and the funny thing is, you see, one day, actually, this is a really good story. One day we were sitting at home and he received a phone call from a friend of his, a doctor he'd known for many, many years, who he used to provide a service for his wife and his mistresses for a long time. And that was before he knew me, by the way. And he said, hey, I'm at the Sheraton Mirage here on the Gold Coast. And there's, I can't say the name properly, but there's a such and such getting married to a, well, you know, the other person. It's a Robert, right? And my friend here wants to go bust the wedding because he owes him $3 million. So my husband, who always gives people benefit of the doubt, he said, no, don't touch him because my parents are there. We'll get him later. But what was really surprising is he took our name. And, you know, my husband was pretty angry about it, but he thought, oh, I said to him, you know, because I always see the angelic side of it. I said to him, oh, you know what? They're in love. They want to go live in Brazil and hide away from the baddies. Just let them be. And years and years and years and years later, I discovered that the real reason they did that is because they went to Sicily to retrieve the paperwork that we had, because my late husband was the Marquis, you know, the descendant of the Marquis from Palermo, Sicily. And they had somebody... they had somebody in Chicago ready to pay millions of dollars for it. So that's why they took our name, to go and sell the title. And
oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy, hey?
It is.
So the reason I tell the story, I mean, it's just like, I just think, what happened to them? I mean, what on earth happened to them to make them think that this is the right thing to do? You know? Fee-based, you know, believing that they have to manipulate and steal and be conniving and all that to have money instead of knowing that the universe will always provide for you, that there's an abundance available to you. All you got to do is allow it in, and you don't have to, you know, do all these manipulative movements. But that's coming all from an ego place, like you said, Roger, before. Exactly, coming from an ego place, you know. And that's why I'm hoping to reach a few people and make them understand that don't manipulate, just allow people to be, allow things in, and you allow it by believing that it's possible. And so many people don't. Would you agree?
I fully agree. I mean, people do need to be themselves. People need to be who they truly are by birth. You know, it is important to have your own completeness and understand we're not a carbon copy of anybody, and we're not we don't have a price tag attached to our name. So when it comes to the true essence of the soul and the heart, it's not a money value on it. What's your thoughts on that, Roger?
Well, I 100% agree. Of course, with the work that I do, I understand the need to control and manipulate and things like that. And, you know, I just want to make a clarity here. When Selva says, you know, the trueness and the essence of the soul, that actually has no attachment to any shadow form at all. It's literally, if I can use the word angelic, it is the angelic part of ourself that is non-judgmental and has no doubt that God, Goddess, will provide everything that we ever need.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that when we are here in the physicality, in the realm of polarity and in the realm of complete free will, the parts that the person is actually aligning to, the consciousness which has the 2 feet on the ground, is sometimes not that part that's the essence of who we are. And so, you know, the need to control and manipulate sometimes, well, very often, in fact, if I clarify that, always comes from that part that does not have a clear understanding and knowing of the true essence of who it is. And I refer to that, as many other people do, as the shadow self. And some of these shadow selves actually have no idea of God, have a disbelief in God, or in fact actually really hate God. And, you know, from that point of view, they make no alignment to being provided for by life. And so they have a fear, and in the end, their fear is that they are not enough. And so then they go off and they find ways so that they can have more than they need. It's basically the basis of all the stuff that we hear that we call as crimes. All of that comes from the same seed. Listening to Angelique's story about that so-called friend stealing the title, that's actually a classic story quite often I get when I'm doing healing for people, where there's a part of the shadow self that pretends to be more than it is, and it's always for profit, not necessarily monetary terms, but it's always for profit. It's always to obtain something that it perceives that it would not normally have.
Very interesting. And so what kind of things has these beautiful ladies contributed to the book, Angelique?
Oh, I'm not sure the other ladies have done yet, because I haven't seen that yet. But they're all contributing their own stories, so I'm not sure what that's going to be yet. But I could sort of talk about a couple more things. Firstly, what I do, may I ask what I do as well? So, you know,
yes.
Roger, what I so what I do, you know, like I obviously, you know, traveled the world extensively, and also, you know, went through so many seminars and read thousands of books and did all that. And then eventually I did I did counseling only to see where the medical system was at. And that's where I started to build a bridge between the two. And I have this thing that I do. It's called rapid transformational therapy. And I learned that from Marissa Pierce, but obviously bring my own juices in and my own life experience is a little bit beyond above average. So I use that. And so what I do, a rapid transformational session is basically 90 minutes. First, we have a chat. We see what kind of issue they want to try to resolve, or to sort of see why is this holding me back in my life, whether it's a pattern in relationship, whether it's, never having as much abundance as I'd like, or whether it's weight issues, which is always related to a psychological protection. I then put them under hypnosis, but not the old-fashioned way. This is pretty sharp, fast, and effective. And once they under hypnosis, which they still fully aware, they still do all the work, I'm just the provider, and I will then, or together, we will go and find out what the root cause of that blockage is in them, and images will pop up and they will describe those to me. And once we've done that a few times, we look at the daisy chain, how all these different things that happened in their past has created where they are today. And that's where they have to discover it, because it's not, I usually know what it is anyway, but it's for them to discover what it is, so then we can release it. So then I become a dentist and I extract it from their psyche, their aura, their being, basically. We do quite a few exercises to do that. And then I will create a recording for them, which at the beginning puts them back under hypnosis. So they have to listen to it when they're not doing anything else, obviously. And then we basically fill up their mind with all the things that they told me at the beginning they wanted to either have or be. And they listen to this recording for about 21 days. And off they go. The transformation is phenomenal. It's absolutely staggering. And I'm so grateful to be able to provide this to the world. And I can do this online, you know, via Skype or obviously in my practice in Brisbane.
One of us is doing the same as the other, but not with hypnosis. So it's very interesting. It's what you described is very, very, very close to the same as I do. It sounds to me that we're using extremely similar methods. And I simply don't do it with the hypnosis. Not that I'm aware of. We just extract the story out exactly the same. Get the images, get them to talk about them. But I actually, those parts of the self that come up as images, I can actually talk directly to them. It's extremely similar, Anjali. And your rapid session is probably a little more rapid than mine, because my sessions can sometimes take 3 hours, but that's pretty quick in a lifespan.
Oh, yeah. I have to say I'm pretty generous with my time too. Yeah, I have a really, really good story just to explain to other people who might be listening to this at one point. You know, I had one of my most extreme stories was that this lady in Israel, she's American Buddhist, living with her husband and 5 boys in Israel, and they're all in the army. And her daughter is in America, and she really wanted to go and live there. Well, she couldn't really go because she was the closest point of softness to her youngest son, who was still coming home every day. But she was a nervous wreck. She was anxiety-driven, you know, pacing the floor all night, very, very skinny because obviously couldn't, you know, just so nervous. Anyway, she had actually done 2 RTT sessions with other people, but got no results. And because she also couldn't see, you know, no scenes were popping up to the surface when asked, even
that happens with some people.
Exactly. So I just kept rolling with it. I mean, I was still trained to roll with it, but then, of course, using a lot of my intuition as well to sort of go where to go next. Anyway, you could see on my website, which is angelicpellegrino.com, that she's put a beautiful, testimonial for me. And she said that, she's out of her entire life, she's met a lot of very elevated people in the world. She says that I'm definitely on top of it all. And she's so grateful for changing her life. And she now lives in America with her daughter. So I'm very grateful that I made a difference in her life. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And it's, to be able to help people to improve the quality of a life is a beautiful gift to have, you know, and it's such a blessing to be able to help people reform themselves, reshape themselves into a true space of their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, so it's really good. So apart from that, what other things do you provide with people?
Well, so it can work for all sorts of things, you know. For instance, weight is always a psychological protection for women. It's either that they have an aggressive husband or they might be in a job where they cop a lot of verbal abuse, so they kind of psychologically and unconsciously just become bigger and bigger. It's, you know, not, they can eat like a bird, they can go to the gym, it just won't come off because it's a psychological protection. And it could also be that a woman doesn't want to feel sexy to other men because she wants, you know, doesn't want that attraction anymore. Many, many reasons. But yeah, I found that that is extremely powerful. When they do a session with me, they usually start to lose weight the very next day. Yeah.
So what, very good.
Yeah.
Angelica, are you aware of your psychic abilities?
Somewhat. What do you mean by that?
Because listening to you, and of course, you know, I'm pretty sure Selva's doing the same thing in one way or the other. But you know, following your energy and when you're talking, I can get into what you're saying on an energetic level. And there's listening to what you do in your sessions, I'm willing to bet 90% of my right arm that you're actually picking up on a lot of stuff on a psychological level. On a psychic level, not psychological. It feels, it literally feels to me that you're getting a lot of answers intuitively, which is psychically. Probably much more than your training. And what I have found in the past that a lot of people who actually study psychology in particular, not so much psychiatry but psychology, actually have quite a psychic gift, that they just don't, they go down the medical path rather than the spiritual path. And in fact, I have a stepdaughter who's doing exactly that. She's just qualified as a master's or doctorate actually in psychology. And it's very, very interesting to hear her talk about stuff, and I'm listening to it, and I can feel the spiritual energy that she doesn't want to go there. That's okay. But for you, you're actually acknowledging that. And I think that my gut feeling is that you're actually much more psychic, especially with retrieving answers from the clients than you know, which from my point of view is a very, very powerful tool, because it can get you into places where others can't.
And I'm sorry to ask one, if I may explain. I had a gentleman that came in once, and he was really heebie-jeebie, and I really thought that he was on ice, because I did my counseling with a group who, you know, had an anti-ICE campaign. And I confronted him with him, I said, are you on ICE? And he goes, no, I used to be, but I'm medicated. But he was still really, really heebie-jeebie, you know. And, I mean, you know, mind you, my late husband had a problem, you know, because when he had to release the pain that was lingering in him, he used to inject cocaine every few months, you know, and have a release. Yeah, no joke. That's what he used to do. So all I could do was give him that space. So I know all about the side effects and, you know, how they look like. So that's, again, life experience. It's priceless, you know. So anyway, he was on my red chair, you know, and he just couldn't even sit still. He was really bad. And that's when I picked up that he had an entity in him.
Yeah.
So I made, you know, because obviously when people do drugs to that, you know, my husband, no one else telling me about it. I just picked up on it. You know, the shackle all around them, like it's just like a, you know, that protection layer around you is just broken, and all these entities, those, I don't know, those souls that are kind of in between worlds jump into your body for a bit of fun. And he had one of those in him. So I made that go away completely. And he went back to his psychologist that he was seeing for 10 years. And when he walked in, the doctor goes, "Whoa, what the hell happened to you?" He was just such calm and collected, didn't recognize him. Pretty amazing thing.
It sounds like we're on, all three of us on a very, very similar page.
I think that's what invited me. That's great. I'm so glad I was able to share this with you guys. Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to
do that.
Help one another and be able to assist them on letting go of whatever shadows they might have, or whatever entity they might have in that, because sometimes people don't even realize they've got them in them because they're so used to living with them that a lot of the time they're in denial, you know, that they're justified in so many different ways of the way that they are. And when you actually remove the entity of the spirit or whatever you want to call it, it's just incredible how light they feel and how completely they transform, even their facial features and everything. Everything just changes and tends to normalize it itself. So to be able to do that is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I'm so glad that you're aware of it, because there's just so, we're like an onion. We just got to peel all these, you know, all these layers to get to the core.
So, Selva and Roger, you know, for me, because I have such good results with my clients, I don't tend to, and I'm not very good with all the social media, I'm working on it, but I tend to not get much repeat customers, because, you know, I have to keep getting new ones, and it's not so easy. So that's why it'd actually be great if, you know, people listen to this and decide, whoa, I would definitely love to change this problem in my life, you know, like even money, you know, you wouldn't believe. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm close to home, not talking about someone else. This is my own daughter, right? She's a school teacher. And one day she said to me, "Oh, Mom, you know, I'm really frustrated. I always pay so much bloody money to tax. I feel like I'm never going to make my dreams come true." I said, "Hey, let's do a session on abundance to see what could possibly hold you back." So because it's my daughter, I can share the fact that one of the images that came through, and it was really, it's a very, very good analogy. She could see ourselves on the beach, because we used to do this a lot, where I would take them to the beach and we would build a castle. And we'd build it with whatever was on the beach, you know, but we made this massive, beautiful castle. But in her dream, the wave came and put it all, you know, flattened it. So it's quite a great analogy. Money comes in and then it goes. It comes in and it goes. So we worked on it. And then about a week later, she came up with this idea. She said, "You know, Mom, all my friends are always asking me, where should I get my lashes done, or my brows, or my hair, or where can I deal where I can get a good tattoo, etc." So she said, "We should create an app." And I thought, "Oh, that's a brilliant idea. How could I make it happen?" "Well, go to your brother." So her brother, you know, who's also built a company from scratch now, he's got 70 full-time employees, started to think about it. And 2 years later, it's worth $2 million. And it's in, you know, still in growing process. It's a lot of work involved, but it's absolutely phenomenal. So it's going to give her a beautiful future. There we go.
Yeah.
And this is what I love about the world we live in, you know, because whenever you see a problem, that gives you, it's an opportunity to create a business around it, because you can resolve that problem for people who, which is what I do, you know, because my sessions are really, really effective. Like, you know, psychologists don't like my training because they say, "Oh, I wouldn't have any repeat customers." And I'm thinking, what the hell? Aren't you supposed to be a healer and fix people? You know, so that's why I'm also, yeah, calling out for people.
It's a very interesting thing, Angelique, is that people in that scenario who are trying to make sure they get repeat customers see themselves as like one of these radial farming pastures, you know, where there's a sprinkler that goes out and goes around in a big circle. And sure, it might be 5 metres across or whatever, but they're seeing themselves as that's all they can work with. They don't see that they've got the whole planet to work with if they choose to. I had a client, just to echo what you've said, I had a client who came to see me. We bought a car off her in-laws, and while I was talking to the wife of the man I bought the car off, she says, she asked what I did, and I told her a little bit, and then she says, I might send my daughter-in-law to you, which she did, and she was in the healing room, and we were just having a chat about things and starting to set the energies up and working with things. About 12 minutes into the session, she started to really, really cry. And so I gave her the tissues, as you do, always on hand. And after she settled down, she says, you know, you've got more out of me in 12 and a half minutes than I have had out of the psychologist over 2.5 years. And, you know, I take that as a compliment. But, yeah, she's another client that I've seen only once, and that's that. You know, she got to where she needed to be. And something that I'd like to share on the radio publicly is that when people do something that Angelique's doing or something I'm doing or something Selva's doing, you may only need one session for your whole lifetime to get you from point A to point B, and then you have the rest of your life experience. So sometimes you don't have to heal something completely. You just need to heal a portion of it so that it takes you to the next stage. Other people want to heal the whole theory, the whole story. And so you will get a repeat session coming back, but it's never the same thing unless that person's really, really stuck. And then I've had, let's see, in 10 years I've probably had 2, maybe 3 clients where I've said to them, you've seen me for, you know, let's say 2 years or 18 months, and I've probably seen them 4 times in that time, and I tell them, we're doing the same thing. You need to go to a different healer, because you need to go and see somebody else, because whatever I'm offering you is not breaking through what you need to break through, even if it's them hanging on, you know. Why is Roger not breaking through that need to hang on to their old story? So if I haven't achieved that in a couple of sessions, I say, you need to find somebody else. And you know, I've got here where we are, you know, I've got Selva, who's only a phone call away, and I've got another colleague who's literally 200 metres down the road, or even 100 metres. And so I got 2 people that I know that I can send to, but, you know, Perth in Western Australia is pretty good. We've got a pretty good spiritual community around the place, and there's lots of people out there that doing things that we don't know. So we just trust that God will, or that other 85% of our brain will actually find the right person to go to. But yeah, for me, someone who keeps coming back and keeps coming back for me is not a success.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. So that's a good. Yeah. So will I be part of your group? Would you be part? Would you be sending me customers that might need another shift?
Say that again, Angelique. It's not quite clear in the mic.
Sorry, I said, am I going to be part of your team now, that you may send me customers that need a different shift?
Oh, sure, maybe. Where are you?
I'm in Brisbane, Australia, but like I said, we can Skype or we can Zoom.
I do telephone sessions as well, Skype and telephone sessions. That's not really a problem, but I do I do limit those to an hour and a half. I never go over it because I've got to hold the energy in both spots. And you will find that you're actually doing that as well, even if you're unaware of it. You're actually holding the energy in both locations. And if you're not practiced at it, it can actually take quite a bit out of you. So how did you get to do this connection with the women who have going on their journeys? The reason I'm asking the question, 20 years ago, when I was going through my own stuff, through my own marriage breakup at the time, and I was doing my spiritual development, it was like a case of dynamite going off underneath me. I had the realization that I would be devastated. I wouldn't say I'd hate her, but I recognized if I had to do this as a single parent with a couple of children, this would devastate me. And so for, you know, getting these stories about women who are going through their life journey and maybe being single or whatever, I find it, my hat goes off to them. I just don't know how they manage it.
It's funny, I never saw that as a challenge. Like, I remember losing my husband and people looking at me like, oh my God, what are you going to do? And it's funny because, there's another little bit of a story that's quite juicy. You know, when my late husband was in hospital, palliative, I was, it was in and out, got to a point where the palliative nurses asked me, do you want him at home for his last few days? And I'm thinking, oh no, I don't know how to handle high blood pressure or do injection. That is just not my thing. So anyway, I was talking to my mother-in-law, who was already passed away, and saying to her, hey, Mom, you know, you told me that he was definitely at the end of the road now, that there was no more repairing, and that I had to repair. So with all due respect, I mean, this is hell for him, for us. You know, I can't sleep, I can't work, I can't function, I can't eat. You know, what are we waiting for? Can you please take... And, you know, like in Switzerland, we have a thing called exit, which is like euthanasia, you know. So because he was so ready to move on. Are you still there, guys?
Yeah.
Are you there? Okay. And there was all these noise going on. I wasn't sure. Anyway, so she said that he was waiting. So my mother-in-law replied and said that she was waiting for his sister to visit. A couple of days later, bring my sister-in-law, the youngest one of my brother, my husband, rings and says, yes, I'm coming to visit. And it was the very same day that I had to go to Sydney for a lawsuit that I had to put in because I was kicked out of a job. It was a setup. They paid somebody to assault me at a job because I was shining too bright. It's called the tall poppy syndrome. Apparently that only exists in Australia. So lucky for me. But anyway, so I went to the, so I was panicking as I'm thinking, oh my God, how the hell am I going to go to Sydney? My husband is going to feel abandoned if I don't go visit him every day, you know? So my daughter said, don't worry, Mum, fly in and out for a day. And so my sister-in-law was coming the very same day that I was going to Sydney. So I'm thinking, oh my God, thank you, God. This is perfect, you know? So my daughter took me to the airport, small little airport in the country town there, and picked up her aunt who was coming from the plane I was about to take, took her to the hospital to be with her brother, and then went to uni because she became a school teacher. So do you know what happened? Can you have a guess?
No.
He left.
My sister-in-law. He passed away, you mean?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, he didn't. Way, way worse. My sister-in-law convinced the hospital to let him out, and she took him all the way to Perth, which is the other side of the country, you know, and he died away from us after 20 years. But she also, before, she took him to the bank in the wheelchair and cleaned my bank accounts. So not only did she get the bereavement payment, the lump sum and everything from the government? Because at the time, the legislation said that she could have all that money, you know, which was about $5,000 worth, if you were a carer for one day. So she'd obviously done her homework. I didn't even know those payments existed, you know. I was so bloody focused on I didn't even know they existed. But anyway, and then to top it off, they took him in the bank, in a wheelchair, and cleaned my bank account. We capsized and we were homeless. So, you know, cop that. I mean, why would people behave like this? It's just crazy. Hey.
I think we need to have a phone call afterwards, Angelique, and we'll have a little discussion about that on a professional level.
No, but it goes to show, again, you know, manipulation, scheming, and what's the other word? Conspiracy, you know, conspiring behind your back. That's all they were doing, really, all the time.
And crazy. I believe in karma. Goes around comes around. You've got to pay for your mistakes.
And you know what, Silva? That is the first thing that I think to myself when somebody does something wrong. I say, oh, my God, you just don't realize what you've just created for yourself. You're just going to pay them so badly. Oh, my God, you know? I see that.
Don't lose sight of the fact that you're also involved in the karma. And is it happening to you, or are you repaying that karma? So it's swings and roundabouts. You know, if you're going to play the game of karma, you have to be part of the game, which means that are you paying something back, or are you starting something off? And
Answer that, I can already tell you the way I see it is before you come on the planet, you choose whether you want to have an easy road or a harder road. And I definitely chose a harder road. But, you know, I was ready. I was pumped. And I just keep shining. And I keep moving forward. But I got crushed a few times, definitely copped a few punches. But, you know, just got up again. But I really don't think I created that karma in this lifetime, that's for sure.
I'm not talking about creating it this lifetime. It could be very, very old. In fact, it probably is.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. Yeah.
My granddad used to say, the good Lord will never give you anything you cannot handle.
I agree.
And it will always give you the lessons that you need to become a better person with.
Unfortunately, so I found out that to be true. Yeah. I've been pushed just a bit far, but yeah, you always come out the other end.
Yeah,
you do.
I call it a point of contrast. It helps you. You know, it's just like when you jump in a pool and you have this, what do you call that? That thing that you jump on, you know, it goes down first and then it goes up. Yeah. But, you know, I definitely finished with all that and I'm on top of it now and I feel wonderful and I just want to bring as many people up to my level as I can. That's basically it. Yeah.
That is absolutely wonderful that you were able to follow your instinct and put this book together, though. But also I do feel that writing this book and doing this book is also a good therapy for you. I think it's a huge healing process for yourself.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, it was only a chapter. I got to write a chapter in there. So there's definitely going to be another book down the track. But maybe even movies. We'll see. Yeah.
Mm. So what's your next step for Angelique? Well, how are you going to put yourself out there? What are your plans?
At the moment, I'm trying to learn all this, you know, online stuff with to build a page, create a list and all that jazz. But I want, yes, I'm in the process of building an online program, which I think is going to be a great, a recipe. I would say a recipe for relationships. Because if there's something I learned from my husband is that just there's so much missing in people's lives because they don't, they're looking into it. They don't talk about it. And, you know, most relationship coaches are always teaching men to be more aware of their feelings and sharing them more and you know, talk about more about how they feel. And that's very important. Hey, don't get me wrong, you know, but I am more on the other side where I teach women to stop being such controlling bitches, excuse me. But, you know, they just tend to get carried away with their job at controlling the households. They just get carried away with it and they just don't allow people to do things. And this has such massive ramifications. Like even
I feel a lot of the controlling that women do is out of fear of themselves, a fear of being alone, a fear of being deserted, a fear of being taken advantage of. And usually women that have been hurt in the past are the ones that are the most controlling. I have a son that is in a situation that is his partner controls everything about him. He can't even come and have a cup of coffee with me because he's just not allowed to. And she's controlling his life completely. But when you look into her, you can understand she's so full of fear in that, but she's also full of denial as well. Because when you mention to her, you know, you should get some counseling, you should get some help, you should try and find a sense of happiness so you're not so insecure. She goes, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me at all. She's in such a denial type of space, you know. So I think a lot of women, it's not that they mean to be bitches, like you call them. It's just that they need help. They need help themselves. Yeah. And that's the only way of survival that they think they know and they can deliver, you know. And so what I feel what we need more than anything, I think people need to understand there's two sides, there's three sides to every story. There's the male, the female, and then is the truth.
Yes.
You've got to try and amalgamate them all and just make the one true story.
Yeah. And but you know, just going back to my online program. So the basic one, first of all, yes, the level one, if you so to speak, is to, you know, kind of get rid of the Cinderella syndrome, where they just think that they're waiting for someone on the outside to come and rescue them and give them all their dreams come true, you know, because it's just, they've got to get off that, because that's already creating such a bad vibe from the beginning, because you're going to attract the wrong person from that level, from that perspective. So that's the first level. They have to learn to, you know, be in love with themselves, to be complete within their own self, and, you know, just to do everything themselves. And then from there, they can say, okay, it'd be great to have a friend to do things with and grow from there. And it's like Abraham Hicks says, you know, your marriage vows shouldn't be, you know, until death do us part. It should be, hey, love you very much. See how it goes. And that's it, you know, because this thing of having to be married for life is really outgrown. We've evolved too much. It's not practical. Yes, you're in love with someone, and it's very special to be in love with someone. I'm so lucky that I've experienced that. But you know, it comes to a point where you might pass, you might outgrow each other, and you have to recognize it without feeling guilty and feeling bad and that you're a bad person because that's happened to you. It's just ease. What are you gonna do about it? You know?
Yeah. I understand that. I've been very blessed. I had one fantastic husband for 30 years. We met on the Friday, we moved in together on the Saturday, and we had 30 beautiful years until he passed 13 years ago. And my second husband now, who actually happens to be my first husband's best friend, I've got a wonderful marriage with him as well, but we have complete acceptance of ourselves and complete acceptance of each other. You know, we both believe that you don't need to change your hair in your head to be with someone if he's the right person. You've got to be your truest form to be able to deliver your truest self, to bring that harmony in a space, and honesty and communication and trust and respect and integrity and all those wonderful things. They are so important, you know. But I consider myself very blessed, because the two marriages that I have are the best. I could not be blessed with better companionship in my life. And I do feel for those that they go from relationship to relationship to relationship, but a lot of it is that they're not being honest with themselves, you know, and they're just looking for companionship instead of a relationship. So they've got to learn the difference between companionship and relationship. You know, they've got a lot to learn about how to live with somebody and how to meet somebody halfway as well.
I've got $1.50.
You go, Roger.
For me, as Selva knows, I've got friends in pretty high places. My information is that there's only one true marriage for us anyway, and that's actually the spirit and the body. That's the true marriage, and that's actually where the phrase "until death us do part" actually refers to. Not what? Between two people. So.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
So you know, that's the only true marriage there is. I mean,
I don't get it. What are the two marriages, Roger?
Between the spirit, the soul, and the body. So when you and the body come together, there is a true marriage, right? A true marriage. And so when the body gets to the end of the physical life, or the spirit or the soul says that's the end of this story, I have to move on to something else, then there's a death, and till death us do part. In relation to what Selva was talking about for her first husband and her second husband, you know, when you have a true understanding of who you are, and you're with somebody who has a true understanding of who they are, what happens then is that there's a true honourment between one another, and that's, you know, let's call that marriage for the sake of the exercise. And when you have a marriage like that, that's actually a partnership. Now, a partnership doesn't mean that you're always going to agree with each other. What it means is that I'm going to honour you enough to say, when you really piss me off, I'm going to tell you. And when I really like what you're doing, I'm going to tell you. And when I'm not sure about something, I'm going to tell you. And people often, you know, a relationship, when people talk about being together and they mention relationships, you know, this is a place of relativity, so that's a relationship. But what makes things relative is what makes you different, whereas a partnership is what brings you together. And so we need to actually understand what the true meanings of the words are, so we can actually relate to each other as the differences, but also be in partnership with one another at the same time. And you know, I've been very lucky to know both Selva's husbands, definitely if Selva or one of the husbands, like Brett or Brad, have ever had any discussions that needed to be discussed, believe me, they discussed it. But that's an honourment. That's an honourment. That says that I respect you enough, I honour you enough to tell you how I feel. And so many people really don't get that. And in fact, when I remarried, and my friend down the road, as a wedding present, brought through a channeling as a blessing, one of the things that came through from Sananda was that to always be exactly what Sol was talking about. So, you know, if Lord Sananda can come through and give that message, then clearly that's a truth that needs to be honoured.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's nearly 9 o'clock and I'm really low on data, so we're only doing an hour show today. But I would like to re-invite Angelique in 3 weeks' time, if you're available, Angelique. And we could continue this discussion. And Angelique, if you could please send me a message with a write-up of yourself a little bit, and how can people get in contact with you, and what services you're offering. I will promote you on the show and put that on the wall of the show, so that way other people that only listen to the recording can still know how to get in contact with you. So if you could do that, I would appreciate that. Roger, thank you once again. You're a gem. I really enjoyed today, and I'm looking forward to if we could actually redo this in 3 weeks' time when I've got full internet and everything again, we'd be able to go a little bit deeper and help each other a little bit more. So many blessings. Many blessings to everybody. Thank you, Anjali. What was that, Roger?
That'll
okay,
be the first of nice
God
thank
bless.
You. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Roger, you go.
Bye.
Bye. Roger? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, everybody. Sorry, I've only got enough data on the phone for an hour show. I will have full internet in a couple of weeks, so I will back on for my full two-hour show when my internet service is being rectified. Many blessings to you all. Bye for now.